كل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. أوصيكم ونفسي المقصرة بتقوى الله، أما بعد، فإننا ولله الحمد قد اجتمعنا في هذا اليوم لبيان موضوع مهم لكل من يريد أن يبني البناء الصحيح لبيت الزوجية، وهو البناء السلفي. وهذا البناء أي الزوجي قد أمر الله عز وجل به، حيث قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. ولكن هل لهذا الزواج الذي قال عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صفات وأسباب ليكون بيتا صالحا فيه الراحة والسعادة كما هو مطلب كل مسلم وكل إنسان؟ إن هذا الأمر وضع له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسببات الصحيحة التي تؤول بالحياة الزوجية إلى حياة طيبة سعيدة مآلها إلى الجنة، مآلها إلى الجنة.
The Sheikh began by mentioning the name of Allah and asking Allah to send the salah and the salam upon the best of the creation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, he said that the best speech, the best words are the words of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the worst of all affairs are those things which are newly introduced into the religion, and everything newly introduced into the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, every misguidance leading to the fire. The Sheikh said that I advise you and myself with the taqwa of Allah, to fear Allah and have consciousness of Allah, obeying Allah. After that, he said that we have gathered here today, and all praises due to Allah, to explain an important matter for everyone who wishes to build a marriage, build the house of the marriage, and it is to explain that this marriage is to be built according to the way of the Salaf, according to the way of the Salaf, a Salafi marriage. And this is the marriage which the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, saying that whoever of you is able to, then he should marry. Whoever of you has the ability to, then he should marry. So this marriage, does it have qualities and attributes by which it becomes and it makes the house a good, safe, secure house? Does this marriage have these attributes, have certain qualities which the Prophet ﷺ spoke about? The Prophet ﷺ has laid down this way so that the marriage it becomes goodly, and he has laid down principles and ways to follow so this marriage is good, and that this marriage leads to Al-Jannah in the end.
وإن من أول هذه الأمور التي نص عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لهذا البيت الذي هو بيت المسلمين وبيت الإيمان، أن يكون الرجل والمرأة أهل دين وأهل تقوى وصلاح. فلذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك، فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في حق الرجل: إن جاءكم من ترضون دينه وأمانته فزوجوه. فنص على الدين كذلك بالنسبة للرجل. فلا بد لأن يتهيأ هذا البيت أن يكون الرجل والمرأة تحت تحت لواء الدين والإسلام والتدين. وهذا السبب الأول والشرط الأول لتحقق بيت السعادة، البيت السلفي.
Sheikh mentioned that from the first of these matters by which the marriage is correct and successful is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned for this house, that this house, and this house is the house of Muslims, and it is to be the house of Iman, faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the person being married, both of them, they should be chosen on the basis of the deen. The deen should be taken into account when choosing the man or the woman. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned with respect to the women, saying that we should choose the one who has deen. The one who is one, who has deen, has religion, has a good religion. And also with respect to the men, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that if one comes to you seeking marriage to the woman, if one comes to you who please and his deen and his character please you, then marry him, then marry them together. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this deen with respect to the women and the men. So that this marriage, it must be under the umbrella and the heading of al-Islam and the deen and righteousness. This is the first of the things and the first condition by which the marriage is successful and the marriage is upon the way of the Salaf.
وهذا الشرع له مسببات حتى يكون ويقع، وهو السؤال، لابد من بذل السبب، السؤال من كلا الطرفين عن الآخر قبل الزواج، وإلا فكيف أعرف أن هذه المرأة متدينة؟ فلا بد من التثبت والتمحيص بما عليه هذه المرأة من دين وخلق، والتثبت من ذلك، ويجب عدم الاستعجال. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما صح: العجلة من الشيطان. لا تستعجل الأمر، وتثبت حتى تستيقن أو يكون هناك الظن الراجح في نفسك على ما هي عليه من خلق وسمت ودين. وهذا يحتاج يا إخوان إلى تثبت، وكذلك المرأة، وكذلك المرأة ما هو مجرد مجيء الرجل وظاهر السلام انتهى الأمر. لذلك النبي يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث: إن جاءكم من ترضون دينه وأمانته فكيف يعرف الإنسان أمانة الرجل إلا بعد السؤال. فهذا دليل من النبي على أن السؤال متضمن لهذا الدليل، لأن لا يعرف الإنسان مجرد التقدم إلى المرأة، لا يعرف أنه أمين وذو خلق ومتدين إلا بعد أن يسأل عنه. أما مجرد هكذا رجل متدين، لا يا أخي، لا بد من التثبت. فإن كانت لك أخت فهي مسؤوليتك كأخ، فإن كانت لك بنت فهذه مسؤوليتك كذلك، أن تتثبت وتسأل عن تاريخ هذا الرجل الذي هو قد قدم لأختك أو لابنتك وهكذا. فهذه الأخت ننصحها بأن تطلب من ولي الأمر التثبت والسؤال من عدة طرق. ألا ترى يا أخي الكريم، لو عندك الآن نقد 10,000 باوند وقال لك رجل: أريد أن أستثمرهم لك بتجارة إن شاء الله، هل تعطي أي شخص هل 10,000؟ لا والله. فكيف تعطي هذه المرأة المسكينة كل ذاتها وما تملك من حياة لرجل لم تتثبت وتتأكد من حقيقته؟ فمجرد هو معك يوم ويومين وخمسة وعشرة وشهر وشهرين، هذا لا يكفي. لابد من التمحيص والتثبت ومعرفة كم يوم غاب عن صلاة الفجر؟ من تعامل معه؟ من الذي تعامل معه؟ نسأل واحد واثنين وثلاثة وأربعة ونتثبت. أين كان يدرس؟ وأتثبت ممن كان له. كل إنسان له تاريخ يا أخي، لماذا تقطع التاريخ إلى سنة أو سنتين؟ لا، انظر إلى 10 سنين من خلف واعرف حقيقة هذا الرجل وتاريخه حتى تكون في مأمن من حقيقة هذا الرجل. أما إن كان قد وقع فيما وقع فيه وتاب وحسن دينه وإلى آخره، هذا أيضا يحتاج إلى تثبت وتأكد مما هو فيه.
Similarly, the Shaykh said that this first condition, which is the one having deen, having religion, having good religion, then there are things by which one can arrive at knowing this, by which one can bring about this condition to be fulfilled. The Prophet ﷺ has laid down this, and that is questioning from both sides about the deen. Questioning by both sides about the deen of the person before the marriage. Since one must make sure with certainty about the deen of the person involved, whether the man or the woman. And one must not hurry into the matter. One must not be hurried into the matter. As it is established from the Prophet ﷺ that he has mentioned that to hurry into something is from shaitan. To hurry into something is from shaitan. So this requires questioning and making sure. So one must see from the side of the man to the woman, he must make sure about the woman's deen. And similarly is the case from the point of the woman, that she should make sure of the deen and the character of the man. And it's not a matter that anyone can come along, any man can come along to try and marry her, and on the outside it looks like he has some deen, and that's the matter, and you give him for marriage. This is not the case. And in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, which he mentioned in the hadith, that when one comes to you wishing marriage, and his deen and his amana, his trustworthiness, it pleases you, then marry them. In this there's an indication, and it shows that this includes asking about his trustworthiness, finding out. Since one cannot find out someone's trustworthiness and character and deen except by asking and finding out. One cannot find this out just by looking at him. So one must be sure, and you should know that, for instance, if you have a sister or you have a daughter, then she is your responsibility. She is your responsibility, and you must make sure about the one that she will marry, and you must find out about who he is. And the Shaykh advised the women that they should seek from those people who are their walis, the wali of over them, that they should seek from them this making sure and to be careful and finding out about the people. The Shaykh said, just imagine, for example, you had a sum of money, £10,000 for instance, and would you give it just to anyone to use on your behalf? You wouldn't give it to anyone to use on your behalf. So what about this woman? This poor woman who is going to give all of her life, everything, to a man. Is she just going to give it just like this? No. One must make sure about who he is and what is his deen like. So one must see what type of people does he deal with, who does he deal with, how is he with respect to making the Salatul Fajr, for how long has he been upon this, how is he, where did he study? The Shaykh said that everyone has a history. Everyone has a history and a past. So do not just make the history 1 or 2 years, but you should look back in his life, study into his life, how he was, what he did, what is his deen like. And you should make sure, and even if he has fallen into some sin, he has fallen into disobedience of Allah in the past, and he has repented from this and made amends, then this is something which must be looked into, and it is something you must make sure of.
لأن الأمر عظيم، فهذا جهد، مدة هذا الجهد لا تتعدى الشهر، مقابل حياة قد تفوق الربع القرن تقريبا. فشهر مقابل أكثر من 25 سنة حياة مع هذا الرجل، أهذا في مقابل هذا أهناك وجه للمقارنة؟ لا والله. فلذلك لا بد للولي من بذل الوسع والطاقة في الوصول إلى معرفة المتقدم له لابنته أو لأخته. الأمر الثاني، لا بد بعد أن تثبت الرجل، أعني من أراد أن يتزوج وكذلك الأخت التي تقدم لها هذا الرجل، بعد أن تثبت كلا الطرفين من ما يجب معرفته من الآخر واستأنس من يعني صفة هذا الرجل، لا بد لكلا الطرفين اللجوء إلى الله جل وعلا بالدعاء والسجود والتقرب إلى الله عز وجل وباستخارة الله عز وجل بهذا الأمر. فقد كان النبي كما قال جابر، فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة كما يعلمنا سورة من القرآن. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلم الصحابة صلاة الاستخارة كما يعلم سورة من القرآن. فلذلك واجب على المسلم الذي يريد أن يتزوج أو الأخت المسلمة أن تستخير الله جل وعلا وتصلي 20 ركعة 100 ركعة خلال فترة التقدم لها، بعد أن تثبتت من الأمر وسألت، لأن الاستخارة لا تكون إلا بعد أن تمت الموافقة على ما همت به من يعني أداء الشيء أو الموافقة عليه. تستخير الله عز وجل وتكثر السجود والدعاء واللجوء إلى الله. ألا ترى أن الله عز وجل يقول من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب؟ فالرزق لا يكون إلا طيب، فالتقوى مآلها إلى الخير. فإذا اتقى العبد ربه جل وعلا فتح الله عز وجل له أبواب الخير وكان له عون في الوصول إلى الخير، وهذا من كرم الله عز وجل علينا. فلا بد لكلا الطرفين سؤال الله عز وجل إذا كانت هذه الزيجة خير أم شر، فإذا كانت شر فتسأل الله عز وجل أن يصرفك عنها، وكذلك العكس. وهذا في حق المرأة والرجل، وهذه يعني المسألة تعين لحصول بركة الله عز وجل فيما هم قادمون عليه.
So the Shaykh said that this matter, the matter of this marriage, is great. This is a great matter. So thus, the effort put in to find out and make sure of the situation and the people's deen, which may not even go beyond a month of investigation, then it is nothing when compared to that lifetime of marriage which could be brought about. Those years which the woman will have to spend with the man as his wife, for those many of years, they are not comparable for that amount of effort you have to put in to find out these things, and it may not even go beyond a month. So it is upon the wali, the guardian of the woman, to take on this responsibility and to make sure of the affairs. The second matter which one should take care of with respect to the marriage is that one must, this applies to both the men and the women, after this making sure about the deen, one must go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to him, supplicate to him, prostrate in front of him and make istikhara. Making istikhara to find out and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best for the person come into play. So as has been reported by Jabir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to teach us istikhara as in the same way as he used to teach surah, a chapter of the Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ used to teach the companions istikhara, the salatul istikhara, in the same way as he would teach them surahs of the Quran. So it is upon the Muslim who wishes to marry, both the man and the woman, that they perform this salatul istikhara, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best after agreement to the matter, since istikhara is to be performed after one has decided or agreed upon a matter, then istikhara is performed after this. the person, they must perform much sujood and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying to Allah and worshipping Allah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to the correct, to their correct affairs. Have you not heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, whoever has taqwa of Allah, whoever practices taqwa with Allah, meaning fearing Him and keeping their duty to Him, then Allah will give him a way out, and He will provide for him from where he would not imagine. He will provide for him from where he would not imagine. So the risk, the sustenance brought about from after taqwa is good, is a good halal sustenance. So the end of taqwa is good. Taqwa leads to good. So it is upon them to worship Allah in this matter and ask Him. So all of them, the man and the woman, must ask Allah, so that if He knows it to be good, then the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them to this, and the opposite is true. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this to be a bad thing, this marriage, then Allah will turn them away from it. This is, as the Shaykh repeated, this is for both men and women, and this is what helps the marriage to be a successful and correct marriage.
الأمر الثالث لابد من مشاركة الوالدين في هذا الأمر العظيم. فمن الحق على المكلف الإنسان سواء الأخت أم الأخ أن يشاور الوالدين الأم والأب بهذا الإقدام، فهذا من حقهما عليك، فلقد ربوك منذ ولادتك، فلا بد من إشراكهم بهذا الأمر العظيم، فلا بد من الرجوع وأخذ الرضا حتى تتحقق البركة من الله جل وعلا على هذا البر. قال تعالى وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا، وبالوالدين إحسانا، وهذا من الإحسان ومن البر لهما، فلا بد من مشاركتهما. فدعاء الوالدين عظيم ومستجاب لله إن شاء الله، فلا بد من مشاركتهما حتى تحل البركة على هذه الزيجة لكلا الطرفين. وأما أن يعصي مجرد لأنه قبل مرأة ما ويعني ما زال يعني هو في رقبة منها بعد ذلك لأمر ما عارض الأب أو الأم فيقول لا والله سأتزوجها مهما يكون الأمر، أعوذ بالله. يا أخي ما صبرت في هذا الوضع، ألا تنسى البر؟ ألا تنسى الإحسان؟ أي كيف تنسى ذلك؟ فلا بد لكلا الطرفين أن يسعون إلى بر الوالدة والإحسان إليهما لتحقق البركة والرضا من عند الله جل وعلا في هذه الزيجة إن شاء الله المباركة.
The third matter with respect to this marriage, what should be preserved with respect to the prospect of this marriage, is from both sides, the men and the women, they should bring their parents to take part in this. The parents should be taking part in this marriage, in the sense that the sister or the brother, they should go back seeking the advice and going back consulting their parents with regards to this marriage. This is a right which they have in this, since they brought you up for many years. They educated you and they cultivated you, bringing you up for many years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran that Allah has ordained that you worship none but Him and to be good to the parents, to be good, to have ihsan to the parents. So this seeking their opinion, going back to them, consulting them, this is from ihsan, being good to the parents with respect to this marriage. So they should try to get the pleasure of the parents so that the barakah, the blessing, it descends upon this marriage, descends upon this affair. As for the one who by any means he will disobey his parents and just simply because he wishes, he has some wish for this woman, for a particular woman, and he says, no, by Allah I'm going to marry her in any case, then this is something not befitting. Do you forget al-birr? Do you forget goodness to your parents? Do you forget ihsan to your parents? So we should go back and consult the parents and try and seek their barakah. The Shaykh also mentioned that the dua of the parents is something great, that if they make dua for you, it's something great. So we should seek their pleasure, we should seek their blessing in this, so that this marriage can be full of barakah, full of blessing.
بعد ذلك لابد للتأهل لدخول هذه الشركة أو هذه الحياة الجديدة وهي الحياة الزوجية. لابد لكلا الطرفين من معرفة أن الحياة ستتغير من حيث أن المسؤولية ستتجدد عليك زيادة عما كانت عليك في السابق وتتأهل لذلك نفسيا. ألا ترى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج؟ لابد من التهيؤ والإعداد النفسي والمالي، لأنك الآن قد أشركت معك إنسان آخر ما هو كما كان عليه الحال في السابق، فلا بد من التهيؤ لهذا الأمر. كذلك وفي هذا الباب كذلك لا بد من قراءة حقوق الزوجة، وهذا قبل الزواج، ولكن للأسف الإخوة على العكس من ذلك يقرؤون حقوق الزوج، هو يقرأ حقوق الزوج. ما يجب يكون الأمر كذا، هو يجب عليه أن يقرأ حقوق الزوجة وهي تقرأ حقوق الزوج. أما الإخوة لا، يبادرون بحقوق إيش؟ حقوقه، هذا قبل لا يتزوج. سبحان الله، وهذا يجعله يعني فقط ينظر إلى يعني قصورها وخللها مقابل النصوص التي قد قرأها وأيقن أنها حق، وهذا قد يسبب المشكلة. فلذلك لو رأيت حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقرأت على سبيل المثال عشرة النساء للنساء، ستنظر بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكون بين وبين أزواجه بعض الخلاف. ألا ترى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لعائشة أعرف عندما تكوني غضبانة علي لأنك تقولين لا ورب إبراهيم، وإذا كنت راضية عني تقولين لا ورب محمد. فقالت عائشة صدقت، أي حتى أم المؤمنين وبيت النبوة فيه يعني شيء من الغضب والنكد ولا لا؟ هذا وارد لا يتصور. فلذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان هين لين لا ينظر إلى حقوقه، لا بل ينظر إلى حقوق الزوجية، حقوق الزوجة، على خلاف ما عليه الناس اليوم. أنا لي حق كذا، أنا لي حق كذا، أنا لا، تناسى حقك وأعطيها حقها، وبالله التوفيق إن شاء الله تتحقق السعادة بذلك. نعم.
Then after this, the Sheikh mentioned that one must know that when one enters into this new life, this not life of marriage, that life will change. Life will change and responsibilities will increase upon you more than before. More than before, when you are single, responsibilities will increase. And this means that one must prepare and be ready for this. Have you not heard that when the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever of you is able to, whoever of you has the ability to, then he should marry? So this shows that one must prepare oneself. One must prepare one's soul, one's inside, and one must prepare oneself with respect to material things, wealth, etc. One must prepare themselves in this matter for the marriage. The Shaykh reminded that in this affair you will have joined someone to you. You will not be on your own anymore. You will have someone with you, joined someone to you as you did not before. So, and the Shaykh said that related to this and part of this is that one must study with respect to the men, one must study the rights of the wife upon him. And with respect to the women, they should study. They should study the rights of the men upon them. Not like what many brothers do now, and this is something they should do before the marriage. Not like many brothers do now, they just study the rights of the man upon his wife, and this is what they take interest in, and this is what they enter themselves into. No. The opposite is true. The woman should study the rights of the men upon her, and the man should study the rights of his wife upon him. so that the brother doesn't end up doing the opposite and then looking for her defects and shortcomings in the woman and comparing it to all the texts which he knows about the rights of the man upon the woman. This can lead to spoiling matters, and it can lead to spoiling the marriage. If you were to study, if you were to look at the way the Prophet ﷺ was, for instance, if you were to read, for example, the book Ishratun Nisa of An-Nisa'i, about living and with the women, and this is about how the Prophet ﷺ was with his wives, then you would find that even amongst his wives there were some differences that occurred. And you would see, for instance, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said to her that, "I know when you are angry with me. I know when you are angry with me. When you are angry with me, you say, 'No, by the Lord of Ibrahim.' And when you are happy with me, you say, 'By the Lord of Muhammad.'" And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "You spoke the truth. You have been truthful in this." So look, even in this house, with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were still some times when the wife would be angry with the husband, and something like this would occur. So look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he was. He did not used to just look at his rights, he would look at the rights of his wife. So the Shaykh said, don't just forget about your rights and studying your rights all the time. Learn the rights of the wife upon you, and after this, inshallah ta'ala, the affairs will go well and there will be barakah in the marriage.
فإذا تزوج الرجل هذه المرأة بعد أن بذل هذه الأسباب وتحقق بيت الزوجية فلا بد أن يعلم بأن الحب المتبادل بين الاثنين هو من عند الله، أن الحب بيد الله. لذلك ودليلي في ذلك يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم لا تحاسبني فيما لا أملك، أي من حب عائشة. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: فيما لا أملك. من هو الذي يملك ذلك؟ هو الله جل وعلا. فالحب هو من الله جل وعلا، فلذلك ما يحاسب الذي يعني قد يعني يكون مقل في حبه لزوجته، لأن هذا الأمر بيده جل وعلا. أما الحقوق فهي واجبة عليه، أما ميل القلب فهذا بيده جل وعلا.
Sheikh mentioned, so that when this man marries this woman, after following this course of taking these precautions and learning these preliminary matters, after this he marries her and the marriage is realized, then one must know that the mutual love which is between the man and the woman is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the hand of Allah. And the proof of this is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "O Allah, do not take me to account for that which I have no control over, or that which I cannot control," meaning his love for Aisha. So this is something, the love in the heart is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the rights that people have over each other, then this is what is wajib upon you to take care of. As for the love in the heart and whether the heart goes towards someone, then this is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
كذلك التآلف بيده جل وعلا. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. هؤلاء الصحابة، لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا، كل ما تستطيع أن تنفقه لأجل أن توفق بين المسلمين وبين الصحابة، الكلام موجه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. فالتآلف لا يتحقق بالوسائل المادية، لأن الله قال: لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا، أي كل الوسائل المالية المادية لو بذلت لتحقق الألفة لن تتحقق إلا بمشيئته جل وعلا. فالألفة الزوجية تتحقق بمشيئته جل وعلا.
And similarly, closeness and togetherness and bringing the heart together is something between the two, is something similarly which is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Allah's power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned saying that if you were to spend all that is in the earth, you will not be able to bring them together. But Allah would bring them together. Allah will bring them together, unite them. And this is an address to the Prophet ﷺ with respect to the companions. If you were to spend all that is on the earth, you would not be able to bring their hearts together or bring them together, but Allah brought them together. So this with respect to the companions and the Prophet ﷺ. Therefore the Shaykh said that bringing about closeness and coming together of the hearts of people is something which is not achieved by these physical means like wealth and such matters, as Allah mentioned in this ayah, that if you were to spend all that is on the earth. But it is something which is with Allah, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, that the closeness between the man and the woman, this is something which is brought about by the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ولكن الحب والألفة لابد أن تتحقق، وذكرت لنا بأنها بيد الله، فكيف تتحقق إذن؟ ما هي الأسباب؟ الأسباب كما أخبر الله عز وجل لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا، من؟ أهل الإيمان والتقوى، البشارة في هذه الدنيا بالخير والسعادة. فلذلك من أعرض عن ذكر الله فإن له معيشة ضنكا، فالذي لا يبتعد ولا يعارض ولا يخالف دين الله وذكر الله لن تكون حياته ضنكا. ومن سبب السعادة المحبة والألفة، وهذه تأتي بالتقوى والإيمان لله جل وعلا. فلا بد من التقوى والإيمان. إذا تريد أن تكون بخير أنت وزوجك لا بد من الدين. الدين يروض الزوجة، الدين يحبب الزوجة، الدين يبعد المشاكل. وسأتي بأثر من السلف. يقول أحد السلف، يقول إذا ارتكبت معصية عرفت ذلك مما يكون مع أهلي، فالمعصية تورث الخلاف، وهذا ما علمه السلف. فلذلك السلف يقول إذا ارتكبت المعصية رأيت ذلك في أهلي أثر هذه المعصية. فلذلك بالدين والإيمان والتقوى يتحقق التآلف بين الزوج والزوجة. حتى لو ترى الأبواب قد سكرت، لا لا، إن الله عز وجل بيده مقاليد كل شيء. من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه، لاحظ، من حيث لا يحتسب، يعني عقله لا يرى الحل، أي لا يحتسب ذلك، ولكن الله جل وعلا. فإذا أنت في خلاف مع زوجك فالحل إعطائها الحقوق الشرعية والعبادة واللجوء إلى الله. فالجأ إلى الله ولتكن القدوة والمثل داخل البيت. المثل السلفي ما هو كلام، مجرد كلام، لا، لابد أن يكون ذلك بالفعل، قول وعمل. فإن فعلت ذلك فإن شاء الله سترى التحول في زوجك. هذا ليس بيدك، هذا بيد الملك الجبار سبحانه. فلذلك حاول يا أخي السلفي أن تبادر بنفسك في ذلك. والذي يبادر بالحياة الزوجية الجديدة ويريد بناء هذا البيت لا بد من الإيمان والتقوى في البيت. كيف ذلك سنتكلم، ولكن بعد الترجمة.
Shaykh went on to say, but indeed the love and closeness between the husband and the wife, the man and the woman, it must be something which is achieved, it must be there. But the Shaykh had just said that this is from Allah. So how can this be brought about? What are the causes which bring about this love and closeness? First and foremost, the Shaykh mentioned that one must understand that there must be iman, faith, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taqwa, righteousness and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be there. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for those who have iman and taqwa that there is glad tidings and goodness in this life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also mentioned, as the Shaykh reminded us, that whoever turns away from the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will have a constricted, hard life. So the one who does not turn away from the deen, the one who doesn't disobey Allah and in this way, then he will not have a constricted, hard life. This is someone who will not have it if he does not turn away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, iman and taqwa must be there. When you wish good between the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, then these things must be realized. The Shaykh said that I will give you an example, a narration from the Salaf. One of the Salaf used to say that when I fall into sin, when I commit a sin, I recognize this in what occurs between me and my wife. Meaning that when he fell into sin, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would recognize the effects of that in the differences and this that would occur between him and his wife. Therefore, with the deen, when one has deen, iman and taqwa, closeness and love is brought about by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you think that all the doors are closed, no, this is not the case. The Shaykh again mentioned the saying of Allah, whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will give him a way out, show him a way out, and he will provide for him from where he would not imagine. Meaning, your intellect, your mind would not be able to imagine where this rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come from, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides it. So if you have a difference, you have some difference with your wife, between yourself and your wife, then give her her rights and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to him and asking him, and in this way this will be brought about. So the example that should be in the house is a Salafi example, an example following the way of the Salaf. And this is not something just merely to talk about. It has to be practical, it has to be in action, that one should perform these matters, go back to the obedience of Allah to solve the problems in the house. And this is something which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh said that you Salafi brothers, you should take this into account and you should practice this in order to correct the affairs.
لا بد للسلفي أن يؤدي الحقوق أولا، حقوق المرأة، ويسعى إلى أن يجعل هذا البيت مبارك بحيث أن يكون له ورد في كل يوم لقراءة كتاب الله في البيت، وأن يكون له ورد في كل صباح في التسبيح والتهليل والاستغفار لله، وأن يكون له وقت من الليل يقوم لله جل وعلا. ما يتصور من البيت السلفي الخواء والظلام، لا قيام ليل، لا قراءة لكتاب الله، هجر لكتاب الله، بعيد عن التسبيح. هذا ما يتصور يا إخوان لبيت يرفع راية السلفية، ما يتصور. لذلك إذا بادر هذا الإنسان بهذه العبادات ورأت الزوجة بعينها ذلك وابتعد عن المعاصي، ورأت هي بعينها أنه أبعد الناس عن المعاصي، لذلك تراه عندما يسير في الطريق عينه في الأرض، وإن وقعت على محارم الله صرفها وخضع لعبودية الله طاعة لله، وللمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. فلذلك إذا رأت هذا المثل هي والأبناء كذلك، والأبناء لأن عندما يكون قول القائل أنا سلفي من غير الالتزام، هذا يجعل في نفوس الأقارب الزوجة والأبناء شيء. الأب يدعو ما لا يفعل، الأب يدعو ما لا يفعل، وهذه مشكلة كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقول ما لا تفعل. كبر مقتا كبر مقتا كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون.
So the one who is following the way of the Salaf, the Salafi, he must give the rights. He must give the rights of the woman to her. And similarly, he should race to make the house a blessed house, blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is by every day having some time, having a portion of recitation of the Quran and remembrance of Allah by saying tasbih, subhanallah, and tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah, and these matters, and performing istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and this being done at the time of the morning. Have these things. It has no qiyamul layl, no standing at night, and it has no recitation of the Quran. Rather, the Quran is abandoned, and there is no tasbih, no remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can imagine this from a Salafi house? So when the woman should look, and when she should see that the man, he is involved in this worship, and she can see with her very eyes that he does not fall into disobedience of Allah, but he worships Allah in this way, and that when he walks down the street, he lowers his gaze and he doesn't look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. Say to the believers that they should lower their gaze. The believing men and the believing women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about them, that they should lower their gaze. And she sees these matters occurring. Her and the children see this from the man, then this is something good. As for when the man, the husband, he says, I am Salafi, and he is not involved in such matters, and he does not back this up with action. It's just a mere claim. And so that the father is claiming that which he does not do, then this is something which is problematic. This is something a problem. When the children, the woman sees this, and the family relations, they see this from a person, then this brings problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that it is a great thing, a great evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say what you do not do. It is a great evil. It is a severe thing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you claim or that you say what you do not do.
وكذلك لا بد للزوج من ممازحة المرأة وإظهار الحب لها. لا بد من الممازحة والملاعبة وإظهار الحب لها. فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشرب من المكان الذي قد شربت منه عائشة، وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل من المكان الذي قد أكلت منه عائشة، إظهارا للحب وللود. وهذا يورث يا أخوان التعايش والألفة والمحبة، فلا بد من إظهار ذلك. وهذا هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Similarly, the husband, the man, he must have some time when he is light-hearted, joking with his wife, playing with his wife, and showing love, showing aspects of love to his wife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would drink from exactly the spot where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would drink from in the vessel. And similarly, he would eat from that part of the food exactly where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had eaten. This showing love and closeness, so one must do this. One must do this, show closeness and love, and show love and this lightheartedness with the wife. And with this, this brings about this closeness and love which we seek. And so this is something which is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
قد كان النبي كذلك يسابق عائشة، فكان الصحابة معه، فيطلب منهم أن يتقدموا حتى يتأخر. فلا يكون هناك أحد فيسابقها، وهذا من يعني تحقق الألفة بين الزوج والزوجة. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يركض وعائشة تركض يتسابقان، هذا من يصنعه؟ محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اليوم يقول لا يا أخي إيش هذا؟ إيش تريدين؟ إيش تريد من منتي؟ يستهزئون بنا الناس. والله صنعها محمد، والله صنعها محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلا بد من الممازحة، ولا بد من ذلك، وأن تضغط على نفسك، تضغط على نفسك وتروض نفسك على هذه المنهجية، لا أن تكون فضلا غليظ القلب. لا يا أخي، لا تكون فضلا غليظ القلب، حتى لو كانت هذه ما هي من خصالك، حتى لو كانت هذه ما هي من خصالك، فروض نفسك، روض نفسك يا أخي.
Similarly, the Sheikh reminded us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would even race with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He would race with her. So if the companions were there, he would tell her, he told the companions to move on so that there was no one around, and then he would race, run. He would be running and Aisha would be running. He would race her. All doing this to realize and bring about this love between them and closeness between them. And this is something which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. This is his practice, this is his guidance, and the Shaykh said again, the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you must do this. Not like nowadays one we might say, you know, what are you trying to do? This is something which people will take fun out of. Don't do it. But this is something, wallahi, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. So you must train yourself, your soul upon to be like this, to have this type of characteristic. The Shaykh said, even if this is not your quality, even if this is not your personality to do this, you must train yourself and must put yourself to become like this.
فلننظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سابقها في الأولى فسبقت عائشة. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سابقها في المرة الثانية عندما سمنت عائشة، فقال يلا لنتسابق مرة ثانية، فسابقها صلى الله عليه وسلم. انظر إلى هذه، حتىها في باله الأولى، فقال في نهاية السباق هذه بتلك. هذا ما الذي قال محمد؟ هذه بتلك. انظر، يعني الأمر في باله سابقا، أي المداعبة في باله وهديه صلى الله عليه وسلم. وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
See how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raced Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once, and in that race she beat him. So later on, another time later than this, when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had put on some more flesh, when she was slightly older and put on some more flesh, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her to race him again. He raced her and he beat her this time. So look how it was that in the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do this, and this was something that he had in him. And he said at the end of this race, this is for that one. This is for that one. So he, look how he was when remembering this and performing in this way. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
لقد طال بنا المقام، والموضوع يحتاج إلى أكثر من ذلك. ولكنني أقول لا بد من التطبيق. لا نريد أن تضرب الأذان من ذلك فقط. لا. من كانت له زوجة فليطبق ذلك. فليطبق ويعقد النية الآن. أن يهتدي بهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ويسعى إلى تطبيق ذلك. هي ليست قصص، وإنما هي أحكام ودين. فلا بد من تطبيق ذلك. إن كنت تحب محمد فاتبع ما كان عليه محمد. فلا بد من أن تعقد النية الآن في قلبك وفي هذه اللحظات، تستغفر الله وتقول أريد يا ربي أن أهتدي بهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فتفعل ما هو مطلوب عليك شرعا، وتعرض عن مخالفاتها كما كان يصنع محمد، وتسعى إلى إسعادها وإظهار الحب لها. وإن لم تكن تزوجت فاستعن بما ذكرناه سالفا من أن تكون هذه الخطيبة من أصحاب الدين والتقوى والإيمان. ولا بد لك من السؤال والتريث والتذلل لله عز وجل والاستخارة حتى تعقد هذا العقد الذي إن شاء الله يكون صاحبه سلفية. اللهم آمين يا رب العالمين.
The Sheikh said that the time has moved on and this topic it needs more detail and more explanation. However, the Sheikh here is advising us that this is something we have to put into practice. We have to put it into practice, we have to apply it in our lives. So the Shaykh advised that we should make the intention now, at this point, to put into practice this guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Shaykh said that this is not a matter of storytelling, what he has been doing. It is not a matter of storytelling, it is a matter of these are the rules, regulations, and these are the texts from Al-Islam, of Al-Islam. It's not just mere storytelling. It's not enough for us just to hear these things, and that's it. We must put these into practice. So, the Shaykh advised that we make the niyyah now, and that if we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we should follow the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Shaykh said that you should do, and this is respect now for these brothers who are married obviously, that you should do what is sought of you by Al-Islam, by the Sharia, and you should try to make this wife happy, you should try and make it good with her. As for the brothers who are not married yet, then for them, the Shaykh said that you should use what was mentioned previously in this talk, when going to find a wife, when going to find someone to be married with, that you should look into her affair, investigate, and make sure about whether she is upon the deen, whether she is upon the deen and she has the good character. Then one should use the fact that they should go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should humiliate themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making istikhara, so that He chooses for them the best way.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
And all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the world.
هذه رابع محاضرة أنا نفتح
Sheikh is quite tired because he's been lecturing all day, so perhaps we'll have a few minutes for a few questions, but the Sheikh needs the rest.
Yes. I think there's situations where a man should not get married. Like he's single, but he should still get married or not get married.
أحوال في أمور مطلوبة على الرجل من لم يستطع الباء فلا يتزوج من لم يستطع الباء فلا يتزوج والباء القدرة فإن لم تتحقق القدرة لا يجب عليه أن يتزوج هذا منطوق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا مفهوم المخالفة من قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من استطاع منكم الباء أي من لم يستطع الباء فلا يتزوج فهذا الذي أعرفه يعني متى لا يتزوج هذا اللي فهمت من الأخ ترجمة نعم
Okay, the question which was asked by a brother was, is there any situation or any time when it is better for a man that he does not marry and that he remains single? In response to this, the Shaykh said that the one who does not have the ability to marry, then it is not obligatory upon him to marry. The one who has not the ability, he hasn't got the ability to marry, then it is not obligatory upon him to marry, and in this case he does not marry. This is the understanding that we gain from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, whoever of you has the ability, has the power, the strength to do so, then he should marry. Meaning that whoever does not have the ability, then don't marry. This is what the Shaykh responds to this question.
Yes. Assalamu
alaikum. وتم حبوس لا تزمن المرأة كبيرة في السن أو عندها أولاد أو مطلقة أفرض مثلا نحتاج لحظة جميلة وهذه مشكلة كثيرة كم الأخوات ملتزمات ولا الدين ولكن إذا مطلقة أو عندها ولد أو اثنين ولا ولا يريدون أن يتزوج من هذا النساء من نوع النساء
نعم هو يقول أن هناك مطلقات وهناك يعني من كان يعني قد كبروا وهم ما تزوجوا فالإخوة ما يتوجهون لهؤلاء
لماذا يعني يصدون عن هؤلاء؟
The brother mentioning and asking that there are here, there are the women who have either grown old or who have been divorced and the likes. And these women, the men, sometimes they don't look at these women, they don't turn to these women. So why do they not consider these women in the light of what the Shaykh said with respect to choosing the one of deen?
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جل نسائه يعني مطلقات وهم أيضا عندهم أبناء وهم أيضا كبار في السن أيضا وهذا صنعه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد تزوج ذلك وما تزوج إلا عائشة فهي البكر أما الباقي فقد كانوا يعني إما مطلقات وإما قد توفى أو توفي الزوج وهذا فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أجد مانع من ذلك بل الجمال كما بينت في كلامك وما ذكره الأخ هو قاله في السؤال الجمال مطلوب لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أنظرت إليها قال لا قال اذهب فانظر إليها ذلك أحرى أن يدم بينكما والجمال متفاوت ما تراه أنت جميل أراه أنا قبيح وما تراه قبيح أراه جميل فالأمر متفاوت فهذا يعني يأكل نوع من الطعام ولا يحب الطعم الآخر وكذلك المرأة ترى هذا جميل وترى الآخر ليس بجميل وقد يخالفها أو تخالف الأخت الأخرى فالجمال متفاوت ألا ترى كيف حال أهل الصين وكيف حال أهل المشرق وكيف حال الإخوة في أفريقيا وكيف حال أهل أمريكا فالوجوه متغيرة ومختلفة وكل من يرى ما يرقب فيه فالجمال لا يحد بحد واحد فلفظ الجمال غير متقوقع على طائفة معينة فهذا أمر مفتوح أما عن الزواج فالأصل أن مفتوح الأمر للجميع ونحث على الزواج من المؤمنة المسلمة سواء كانت ثيب أم كانت غير ذلك نعم
And just to add that the brother in his question had mentioned the aspect of looking for the beautiful one, looking for the one who has beauty. In response to this, what the brother had mentioned, the Shaykh mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, he had married women who had been previously divorced, who were of older age, and who had children. In fact, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was the only wife he married, and she was virgin at the time. The rest of them, they were older or they had been divorced and they had children. So the Shaykh said he does not, and this is the guidance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Shaykh said he doesn't see anyone to prevent, anything to prevent one from doing this. With respect to beauty, then this definitely is something which is sought. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, when he asked one of his companions, have you seen her? Have you looked at her? He said no. He said go and look at her, for it is more conducive to keep you together, remaining together. And this beauty is something which differs between people. People have their own choice and their own likings of beauty. So what one person sees as ugly, someone might see as beautiful. In the same way as one who eats one type of food, and he may not like another type of food, in such likes, another person may like that food which he does not like. So the beauty is something which differs amongst the people. And the Shaykh said, look at how people are from different parts of the world, like China, and the brothers in Africa, etc., etc. Everyone has that which they like and which they consider beautiful, and this is varying of different types. The Shaykh said that the word beautiful or the word beauty does not apply to one certain type of people. It does not apply to one certain type of people from some certain place. And this is what the Shaykh had to say in response to this question.
You mentioned about consulting parents with marriage. What if circumstances arise where your parents want you to marry someone who may not be pious, may not be in the deen? What do you do then?
لا بد من مصاحبتهما بالمعروف عدم الطاعة في ذلك إذا أرادوا يعني زواجك من امرأة عاصية أو ما شابه ذلك هذا لا يجب قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقبل الله دعاء من كانت تحته امرأة ذات خلق سيء، لا يقبل الله عز وجل له دعاء. والصلاة دعاء كما يقول شيخي رحمه الله شيخ عبد الرحمن عبد الصمد، فقد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الأمر. فلا بد من الناس ومن عفوا من الأخ أن يراعي جانب بر الوالدين ولا يصادمهما. ألا ترى أن الله عز وجل قد قال وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة في المقابل، مع أن هم أعداء لله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومع هذا فأعقب القول ذلك جل وعلا بالمصاحبة الحسنة. فلا يجب عليك، نعم هم مخطئون فيما يأمرونك به، ولكن لا بد من المصاحبة الطيبة والابتسامة وتقبيل الرأس في كل يوم وقضاء حاجات الوالدين، هذا واجب. لا بد أن يتمثل السلفي ببر الوالدين، لا بد أن يتمثل السلفي ببر الوالدين. فهذا ما نص عليه الله عز وجل وأخبر به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا طاعة لهما، ولكن لا بد من المصاحبة وإرضاءهما في ذلك، وتحاول، لأن الله عز وجل بيده قلوب الناس، يا مقلب القلوب هو مقلب القلوب جل وعلا. فاسعى إلى الذل لله جل وعلا ودعائه جل وعلا في الليل والنهار إلى هدايتهما إلى الخير لك ولأنفسهم كذلك. فهذا الطريق الذي أعتقد، لأنك في موقع حرج، وقد يكون ذلك من الابتلاء، والابتلاء لا يكون إلا للمؤمن، وقد يكون ذلك للعقاب، وهذا يكون لخلاف المؤمن. فكل هم ما يخرج من دائرته، إما بلاء وإما عقاب. كيف نعرف؟ إن كنت على المعاصي فهو عقاب، فما أصابتكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم، كل مصيبة تصيبك نسأل الله السلامة هي مصيبة، فإن كنت صاحب معاصي فهذا من كسب يدك. وأما إن كنت تقيا سلفيا فوالله هذا بلاء، وأشد الناس بلاء هم الأنبياء ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم.
In response to this question, the Shaykh said that you must accompany your parents in a goodly manner. But in this matter, if the girl, the woman they want you to marry, she is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you do not obey them in this. And it's not obligatory upon you to obey them in this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not accept the dua, the supplication of a man who has under him a woman of evil character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the dua of a man who has under him a woman of evil character. And the Shaykh said that salah, prayer, is a dua. As his Shaykh, Abdul Rahman Abdul Samad, mentioned that dua, salah is a dua. So in this case, you do not obey your parents in this. Then the Shaykh quoted to us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned regarding the parents, that if they try to make you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which He has sent no proof for, no authority for, then do not obey them. And at the end of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still told us to live with them and be with them in a goodly manner. So look, even if you consider, even though in this case of trying to make you commit shirk, they are doing something which is enmity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still told you to be with them in a good way in the end of it, after not obeying them in this matter. So one must practice this, being living in a good manner with the parents and kissing them on the head every morning and so on and so forth. The one who is a Salafi, following the way of the Salaf, the pious predecessors, he must practice this goodness to the parents. Then he tries to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the turner of the heart. He is the one who changes the heart. So one must go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him night and day, make dua to him to guide the parents to the good, and guide all and guide others to the good. One, and in this way, the Shaykh sees that this is the way which is correct to do this. Now, this if a brother is in this situation, then this is a type of hardship. And there are two situations, and there is no third situation which we could be in. Either this is a punishment, or it is something which is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either it is a punishment or a test. How do you know this? If you are someone who is sinning, who is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that this situation, which is a type of musibah, calamity, is a punishment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that no calamity befalls you except it is due to what your hands have earned. Or if one is someone who is upon taqwa, righteousness and piety to Allah, and he is salafi, following the way of the salaf, then this is something which is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are tested most are the prophets, and then those who are most like them, and then those who are most like them.
تعذرونا يا جماعة والله إني أنا من الفجر والله ما وقفنا تعذرونا بس البطارية خلصت يا شيخ يا ستي أي نعم تفضل هذا دعاء خاص ليس مطلق اي نعم على زوجته
بس على زوجته
من اين هذا التقييد بارك لنا الاصل الاطلاق من اين قيد هذا الحديث
لان قيد الشروط يعني ثلاثه
نعم
الرجل الذي نقل
نعم
كان له ان يكتب
نعم
ما
نعم
لا زوجة كان له أن يطلقها فليس له أن يدعو عليها إذا كانت سيئة الله أعطاه رخصة
أن يطلقها نعم
يعني ليس كل الدعاء لأن لعل إنسان تقي يقبل الله دعاءه وعنده ما
يحتاج إلى تقييد يا أخي ما رأيت التقييد لحد الآن أنا يعني الثلاثة أعرفهم ولكن لا بد من التقييد التقييد بنص بارك الله فيك جزاك الله هذا كلام العلماء من قال ما جزاك الله خير تفيدنا أنا ما قرأت حقيقة يعني أحد من العلماء خصص فتفيدنا من قرأت له من العلماء قال ذلك جزاك الله خير لو ترجم الله يفيد يعني لأن هذه الفائدة أنا ما أعرف أجهلها
the brother was mentioning جزاك الله خير that this, with respect to the hadith which the sheikh quoted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the dua of the one who underneath him is a woman of evil character. This hadith and the brother mentioned that this is part of a longer hadith which three types of people we mentioned whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the dua from. The brother said that the dua mentioned in this hadith is not dua totally, it is only dua with respect to his wife. And this is a specification which the brother made. The sheikh asked him that from where did he get this specification to specify the dua, because the fundamental principle is that the dua means the dua in general and it needs something to specify it. So the brother was saying that there are some conditions and was explaining, and the brother mentioned that this is something which he knew from the words of the scholars. The sheikh asked him that would he benefit him with this explanation of the scholars, since the sheikh had not heard this so far, and the brother said that this is something which is with the brother, this is something which is present. The words of the scholars explained in this hadith.
And maybe I am wrong in it. Let's need to see what he is saying, because I didn't see it. So maybe I am wrong. Zafar. انتظر الحين هذا اترك أنا قلت لك نرجع 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 بذلك. نعم.
نحن نعيش في بلد مسيحي. هل يستطيع المسلم أن يتزوج بغير مسلمة إن لم يجد مسلمة وما هو
رأي
ما يقول الإسلام في هذا؟
والله اتفاق العلماء بجواز الجواز من الكتابيين، ولكن حقيقة اتفاق العلماء في ذلك وأجاز الله عز وجل ذلك وأباحه الله جل وعلا في كتابه، واتفاق العلماء في ذلك، ولكن تمهل إن كان هذا أمرك فتمهل، لأنه يعني مآله نسأل الله السلامة يعني أن هذه امرأة نصرانية أو امرأة يهودية تفكر بالأبناء وتفكر بخوالي الأبناء وتفكر بجد وجدة الأبناء ليكون يعني النظر أبعد من ذلك، وإلا من حيث الجواز فهذا جائز الزواج من الكتابية. نعم.
That was the last question. There will be no more questions. The brother was asking.
خلي يخلص الأخ.
لا هو سؤال كمل
الأخ. خلي يكمل وإن شاء الله على الخشب.
The brother was asking that we live in a Christian country. Is it allowed, or what is the viewpoint of Al-Islam with when one cannot find a Muslim woman to marry someone who is not Muslim? The Sheikh responded saying that Islam by and it is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed, and by agreement of the scholars has allowed for one to marry a woman from the Ahlul Kitab, from the people of the book, Jews or Christians. This is something which is allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, one, and the Sheikh advised that one should look into the situation, should look and think about the what will be the outcome of this with respect to the children and the family and these kind of things. But with respect to it being allowed, then it's something which is allowed by Al-Islam.
إذا قال أن لله ابن، هل معنى نجعل هذه المرأة لبنت الكتابية؟
نعم.
أو مشترك؟
نعم. تفضل.
The brother was asking, is there some qualities and some particularities which define who is this woman, a kitabiyya woman, who we have been allowed to marry? Is there, for instance, is the one who says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son, is she counted as from the women of the people of the book? Or, you know, so in these things the brother is asking, what is the definition and the characteristics of this kitabiyya?
الله عز وجل أخبر في محكم كتابه العزيز عن اليهود أنهم يقولون وقالوا عزير ابن الله وسماهم يهود، وقال عن النصارى لقد جئتم شيئا إدا، إلى آخر الآية أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا. فلذلك الله أثبت أنهم ادعوا ذلك، ومع هذا فهم، وهذا ما عليه الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، ما خلى عبد الله بن عمر الذي قال بما تقول أنت عبد الله بن عمر. بعد ذلك أجمع العلماء على أن اليهود والنصارى وهم على هذا الحال الذي تعنيه هم من قال الله عز وجل في بحقهم بإباحة الزواج، وهذا القول الذي ذكرته قاله عبد الله بن عمر، ولكن هذا من الخلاف الغير جائز أن يكون الآن، لأن تحقق فيه الاتفاق والإجماع بعد ذلك، فهذا من الخلاف الغير جائز. كمن يقول بأن عمر قال بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يمت، أو كمن قال أن عمر رضي الله عنه يقول بأن الذي يكون فيه الحدث الأكبر ولم يجد ماء لا يجوز له الصلاة حتى يجد الماء، والتيمم لا يجوز. هذا قول عمر، من يقول به الآن لا، من يقول به الآن لا يقبل منه ذلك، فهذا خلاف غير معتبر وغير جائز، وإن قاله عمر في ذاك اليوم، وإن قال عبد الله بن عمر فيما قاله في اليهود والنصارى. فلذلك ينقل العلماء الإجماع، ولكنني أحببت أن أقول الاتفاق، وإلا فينقل العلماء الإجماع في ذلك. هذا اللي أعلم والله أعلم.
In response to this question, the Shaykh mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Quran, calling them al-Yahud, the Jews, that they say Uzayr is the son of Allah, and he called them Yahud in this. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Nasara, the Christians, and he mentioned in that verse calling them Christians that they ascribe a son to Ar-Rahman, to the Most Merciful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described these people with these attributes, and he has called them Jews and Christians. So all of the companions, they were upon this, that those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the book in that manner, they apply to as being those of the people of the book. Apart from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said what similar to what the brother has said with regards to making a distinction between this. It's only Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma who mentioned this. But all of the scholars after that, they are agreed upon these people who have been described in the Quran as saying these things as being the people of the book. Those same people are men. So the Shaykh mentioned that this is a type of difference that is not allowed to occur now. This is a type of ikhtilaf which shouldn't occur now, even though it was said by Abdullah ibn Umar at that time. Since after this, we have obtained agreement of the scholars upon this issue. We have obtained agreement of the scholars upon this issue. So this is the same. This is the same situation as the situation when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said at that time, at one time, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadn't died. Or as has been mentioned from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he has mentioned that the one who becomes who gets major impurity that the, and he finds no water to make ghusl, that the salah is not obligatory upon him until he finds the water. These kind of things, they are things which are ikhtilaf, difference of opinion, which are not to be considered now. They are not to be taken into consideration since the scholars are agreed upon these matters. So the Shaykh mentioned that the scholars have, they quote ijma' consensus on this with respect to the people of the book amongst the scholars. They quote ijma', and due to what has been said by Ibn Umar, the Shaykh, he prefers to say ittifaq, which means agreement, and there's a slight difference between the two.
والله تحمني شوي اي والله اني تعب يعلم الله بذلك وراي السفر غدا الى الكويت والله ولازم استيقظ الفجر وايضا عن فترحمنا يا اخي اي والله ارحمنا في الارض يرحمكم في السماء يا اخي.
كل محدثة بدعة كل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار. أوصيكم ونفسي المقصرة بتقوى الله. أما بعد، فإننا ولله الحمد قد اجتمعنا في هذا اليوم لبيان موضوع مهم لكل من يريد أن يبني البناء الصحيح لبيت الزوجية، وهو البناء السلفي. وهذا البناء أي الزوجي قد أمر الله عز وجل به، حيث قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. ولكن هل لهذا الزواج الذي قال عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صفات وأسباب ليكون بيتا صالحا فيه الراحة والسعادة كما هو مطلب كل مسلم وكل إنسان؟ إن هذا الأمر وضع له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسببات الصحيحة التي تؤول بالحياة الزوجية إلى حياة طيبة سعيدة مآلها إلى الجنة، مآلها إلى الجنة.
The Shaykh began by mentioning the name of Allah and asking Allah to send the salah and the salam upon the best of the creation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, he said that the best speech, the best words are the words of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the worst of all affairs are those things which are newly introduced into the religion, and everything newly introduced into the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, every misguidance leading to the fire. The Shaykh said that I advise you and myself with the taqwa of Allah, to fear Allah and have consciousness of Allah, obeying Allah. After that, he said that we have gathered here today, and all praises due to Allah, to explain an important matter for everyone who wishes to build a marriage, build the house of the marriage. And it is to explain that this marriage is to be built according to the way of the Salaf, according to the way of the Salaf, a Salafi marriage. And this is the marriage which the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, saying that whoever of you is able to, then he should marry. Whoever of you has the ability to, then he should marry. So this marriage, does it have qualities and attributes by which it becomes and it makes the house a good, safe, secure house? Does this marriage have these attributes, have certain qualities which the Prophet ﷺ spoke about? The Prophet ﷺ has laid down this way so that the marriage it becomes goodly, and he has laid down principles and ways to follow so this marriage is good, and that this marriage leads to Al-Jannah in the end.
وإن من أول هذه الأمور التي نص عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لهذا البيت الذي هو بيت المسلمين وبيت الإيمان أن يكون الرجل والمرأة أهل دين وأهل تقوى وصلاح. فلذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك، فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في حق الرجل إن جاءكم من ترضون دينه وأمانته فزوجوه، فنص على الدين كذلك بالنسبة للرجل. فلا بد لأن يتهيأ هذا البيت أن يكون الرجل والمرأة تحت لواء الدين والإسلام والتدين، وهذا السبب الأول والشرط الأول لتحقق بيت السعادة، البيت السلفي.
الشيخ mentioned that from the first of these matters by which the marriage is correct and successful is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned for this house, that this house, and this house is the house of Muslims, and it is to be the house of Iman, faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the person being married, both of them, they should be chosen on the basis of the deen. The deen should be taken into account when choosing the man or the woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned with respect to the women, saying that we should choose the one who has deen, the one who is one who has deen, has religion, has a good religion. And also with respect to the men, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that if one comes to you seeking marriage to the woman, if one comes to you who please and his deen and his character please you, then marry him, then marry them together. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this deen with respect to the women and the men. So that this marriage, it must be under the umbrella and the heading of Al-Islam and the deen and righteousness. This is the first of the things and the first condition by which the marriage is successful and the marriage is upon the way of the Salaf.
وهذا الشرع له مسببات حتى يكون ويقع، وهو السؤال، لابد من بذل السبب، السؤال من كلا الطرفين عن الآخر قبل الزواج، وإلا فكيف أعرف أن هذه المرأة متدينة؟ فلا بد من التثبت والتمحيص بما عليه هذه المرأة من دين وخلق، والتثبت من ذلك. ويجب عدم الاستعجال. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما صح: العجلة من الشيطان، لا تستعجل الأمر وتثبت حتى تستيقن أو يكون هناك الظن الراجح في نفسك على ما هي عليه من خلق وسمت ودين. و وهذا يحتاج يا إخوان إلى تثبت. وكذلك المرأة، وكذلك المرأة، ما هو مجرد مجيء الرجل وظاهر السلامة انتهى الأمر. لذلك النبي يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث: إن جاءكم من ترضون دينه وأمانته فكيف يعرف الإنسان أمانة الرجل إلا بعد السؤال. فهذا دليل من النبي على أن السؤال متضمن لهذا الدليل، لأن لا يعرف الإنسان مجرد التقدم إلى المرأة لا يعرف أنه أمين وذو خلق ومتدين إلا بعد أن يسأل عنه. أما مجرد هكذا رجل متدين، لا يا أخي، لا بد من التثبت. فإن كانت لك أخت فهي مسؤوليتك كأخ، فإن كانت لك بنت فهذه مسؤوليتك كذلك، أن تتثبت وتسأل عن تاريخ هذا الرجل الذي هو قد قدم لأختك أو لابنتك وهكذا. فهذه الأخت ننصحها بأن تطلب من ولي الأمر التثبت والسؤال من عدة طرق. ألا ترى يا أخي الكريم، لو عندك الآن نقد 10,000 باوند وقال لك رجل أريد أن أستثمرهم لك بتجارة إن شاء الله، هل تعطي أي شخص هل 10,000؟ لا والله. فكيف تعطي هذه المرأة المسكينة كل ذاتها وما تملك من حياة لرجل لم تتثبت وتتأكد من حقيقته؟ فمجرد هو معك يوم ويومين وخمسة وعشرة وشهر وشهرين هذا لا يكفي، لابد من التمحيص والتثبت ومعرفة كم يوم قضى عن صلاة الفجر، من تعامل معه، من الذي تعامل معه، نسأل 1 و2 و3 و4 ونتثبت، أين كان يدرس، وأتثبت ممن كان له. كل إنسان له تاريخ يا أخي، لماذا تقطع التاريخ إلى سنة أو سنتين؟ لا، انظر إلى 10 سنين من خلف واعرف حقيقة هذا الرجل وتاريخه حتى تكون في مأمن من حقيقة هذا الرجل. أما إن كان قد وقع فيما وقع فيه وتاب وحسن دينه وإلى آخره، هذا أيضا يحتاج إلى تثبت وتأكد مما هو فيه. نعم.
Similarly, the Shaykh said that this first condition, which is the one having deen, having religion, having good religion, then there are things by which one can arrive at knowing this, by which one can bring about this condition to be fulfilled. The Prophet ﷺ has laid down this, and that is questioning from both sides about the deen, questioning by both sides about the deen of the person before the marriage. Since one must make sure with certainty about the deen of the person involved, whether the man or the woman, and one must not hurry into the matter. One must not be hurried into the matter, as it is established from the Prophet ﷺ that he has mentioned that to hurry into something is from shaitan. To hurry into something is from shaitan. So this requires questioning and making sure. So one must see from the side of the man to the woman, he must make sure about the woman's deen. And similarly is the case from the point of the woman, that she should make sure of the deen and the character of the man. And it's not a matter that anyone can come along, any man can come along to try and marry her, and on the outside it looks like he has some deen and that's the matter, and you give him for marriage. This is not the case. And in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, which he mentioned in the hadith, that when one comes to you wishing marriage and his deen and his amana, his trustworthiness, it pleases you, then marry them. In this there's an indication, and it shows that this includes asking about his trustworthiness, finding out. Since one cannot find out someone's trustworthiness and character and deen except by asking and finding out, one cannot find this out just by looking at him. So one must be sure, and you should know that, for instance, if you have a sister or you have a daughter, then she is your responsibility. She is your responsibility, and you must make sure about the one that she will marry, and you must find out about who he is. And the Shaykh advised the women that they should seek from those people who are their walis, the wali of over them, that they should seek from them this making sure and to be careful and finding out about the people. The Shaykh said, just imagine, for example, you had a sum of money, £10,000 for instance, and would you give it just to anyone to use on your behalf? You wouldn't give it to anyone to use on your behalf. So what about this woman? This poor woman who is going to give all of her life, everything to a man. Is she just going to give it just like this? No. One must make sure about who he is and what is his deen like. So one must see what type of people does he deal with, who does he deal with, how is he with respect to making the Salatul Fajr, for how long has he been upon this, how is he, where did he study? The Shaykh said that everyone has a history, everyone has a history and a past. So do not just make the history 1 or 2 years, but you should look back in his life, study into his life, how he was, what he did, what is his deen like. And you should make sure, and even if he has fallen into some sin, he has fallen into disobedience of Allah in the past, and he has repented from this and made amends, then this is something which must be looked into, and it is something you must make sure of.
لأن الأمر عظيم فهذا جهد مدة هذا الجهد لا تتعدى الشهر مقابل حياة قد تفوق الربع القرن تقريبا فشهر مقابل أكثر من 25 سنة حياة مع هذا الرجل أهذا في مقابل هذا أهناك وجه للمقارنة؟ لا والله فلذلك لا بد للولي من بذل الوسع والطاقة في الوصول إلى معرفة المتقدم له لابنته أو لأخته الأمر الثاني لابد بعد أن تثبت الرجل أعني من أراد أن يتزوج وكذلك الأخت التي تقدم لها هذا الرجل بعد أن تثبت كلا الطرفين من ما يجب معرفته من الآخر واستأنس من يعني صفة هذا الرجل لابد لكلا الطرفين اللجوء إلى الله جل وعلا بالدعاء والسجود والتقرب إلى الله عز وجل وباستخارة الله عز وجل بهذا الأمر فقد كان النبي كما قال جابر فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة كما يعلمنا سورة من القرآن كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلم الصحابة صلاة الاستخارة كما يعلم سورة من القرآن فلذلك واجب على المسلم الذي يريد أن يتزوج أو الأخت المسلمة أن تستخير الله جل وعلا وتصلي 20 ركعة 100 ركعة خلال فترة التقدم لها بعد أن تثبتت من الأمر وسألت لأن الاستخارة لا تكون إلا بعد أن تمت الموافقة على ما همت به من يعني أداء الشيء أو الموافقة عليه تستخير الله عز وجل وتكثر السجود والدعاء واللجوء إلى الله ألا ترى أن الله عز وجل يقول من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب فالرزق لا يكون إلا طيب فالتقوى مآلها إلى الخير فإذا اتقى العبد ربه جل وعلا فتح الله عز وجل له أبواب الخير وكان له عون في الوصول إلى الخير وهذا من كرم الله عز وجل علينا فلا بد لكلا الطرفين سؤال الله عز وجل إذا كانت هذه الزيجة خير أم شر فإذا كانت شر فتسأل الله عز وجل أن يصرفك عنها وكذلك العكس وهذا في حق المرأة والرجل وهذه يعني المسألة تعين لحصول بركة الله عز وجل فيما هم قادمون عليه نعم
So the Shaykh said that this matter, the matter of this marriage, is great. This is a great matter. So thus, the effort put in to find out and make sure of the situation and the people's deen, which may not even go beyond a month of investigation, then it is nothing when compared to that lifetime of marriage which could be brought about. Those years which the woman will have to spend with the man as his wife, for those many of years, they are not comparable for that amount of effort you have to put in to find out these things, and it may not even go beyond a month. So it is upon the wali, the guardian of the woman, to take on this responsibility and to make sure of the affairs. The second matter which one should take care of with respect to the marriage is that one must, this applies to both the men and the women, after this making sure about the deen, one must go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to him, supplicate to him, prostrate in front of him, and make istikhara. Making istikhara to find out and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best for the person come into play. So, as has been reported by Jabir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to teach us istikhara as in the same way as he used to teach surah, a chapter of the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the companions istikhara, the salatul istikhara, in the same way as he would teach them surahs of the Quran. So it is upon the Muslim who wishes to marry, both the man and the woman, that they perform this salatul istikhara, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best after agreement to the matter, since istikhara is to be performed after one has decided or agreed upon a matter. Then istikhara is performed after this. The person, they must perform much sujood and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying to Allah and worshipping Allah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to the correct, to their correct affairs. Have you not heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, whoever has taqwa of Allah, whoever practices taqwa with Allah, meaning fearing Him and keeping their duty to Him, then Allah will give him a way out, and He will provide for him from where he would not imagine. He will provide for him from where he would not imagine. So the risk, the sustenance brought about from after taqwa is good, is a good halal sustenance. So the end of taqwa is good. Taqwa leads to good. So it is upon them to worship Allah in this matter and ask Him. So all of them, the man and the woman, must ask Allah, so that if He knows it to be good, then the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them to this, and the opposite is true. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this to be a bad thing, this marriage, then Allah will turn them away from it. This is, and the Shaykh repeated, this is for both men and women. And this is what helps the marriage to be a successful and correct marriage.
الأمر الثالث لابد من مشاركة الوالدين في هذا الأمر العظيم. فمن الحق على المكلف الإنسان سواء الأخت أم الأخ أن يشاور الوالدين الأم والأب بهذا الإقدام، فهذا من حقهما عليك. فلقد ربوك منذ ولادتك، فلا بد من إشراكهم بهذا الأمر العظيم، فلا بد من الرجوع وأخذ الرضا حتى تتحقق البركة من الله جل وعلا على هذا البر. قال تعالى: وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. وبالوالدين إحسانا، وهذا من الإحسان ومن البر لهما، فلا بد من مشاركتهما. فدعاء الوالدين عظيم ومستجاب لله إن شاء الله، فلا بد من مشاركتهما حتى تحل البركة على هذه الزيجة لكلا الطرفين. وأما أن يعصي مجرد لأنه قبل مرأة ما ويعني ما زال يعني هو في رقبة منها، بعد ذلك لأمر ما عارض الأب أو الأم فيقول لا والله سأتزوجها مهما يكون الأمر، أعوذ بالله. يا أخي ما صبرت في هذا الوضع، ألا تنسى البر؟ ألا تنسى الإحسان؟ أي كيف تنسى ذلك؟ فلا بد لكلا الطرفين أن يسعون إلى بر الوالدة والإحسان إليهما لتحقق البركة والرضا من عند الله جل وعلا في هذه الزيجة إن شاء الله المباركة.
The third matter with respect to this marriage, what should be preserved with respect to the prospect of this marriage, is from both sides, the men and the women, they should bring their parents to take part in this. The parents should be taking part in this marriage, in the sense that the sister or the brother, they should go back seeking the advice and going back consulting their parents with regards to this marriage. This is a right which they have in this, since they brought you up for many years. They educated you and they cultivated you, bringing you up for many years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran that Allah has ordained that you worship none but Him, and to be good to the parents, to be good, to have ihsan to the parents. So this seeking their opinion, going back to them, consulting them, this is from ihsan, being good to the parents with respect to this marriage. So they should try to get the pleasure of the parents, so that the barakah, the blessing, it descends upon this marriage, descends upon this affair. As for the one who by any means he will disobey his parents, and just simply because he wishes, he has some wish for this woman, for a particular woman, and he says, no, by Allah, I'm going to marry her in any case, then this is something not befitting. Do you forget al-birr? Do you forget goodness to your parents? Do you forget ihsan to your parents? So we should go back and consult the parents and try and seek their barakah. The Shaykh also mentioned that the dua of the parents is something great, that if they make dua for you, it's something great. So we should seek their pleasure, we should seek their blessing in this, so that this marriage can be full of barakah, full of blessing.
بعد ذلك لا بد للتأهل لدخول هذه الشركة أو هذه الحياة الجديدة وهي الحياة الزوجية. لا بد لكلا الطرفين من معرفة أن الحياة ستتغير من حيث أن المسؤولية ستتجدد عليك زيادة عما كانت عليك في السابق، وتتأهل لذلك نفسيا. ألا ترى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج؟ لا بد من التهيؤ والإعداد النفسي والمالي، لأنك الآن قد أشركت معك إنسان آخر، ما هو كما كان عليه الحال في السابق، فلا بد من التهيؤ لهذا الأمر. كذلك وفي هذا الباب كذلك لا بد من قراءة حقوق الزوجة، وهذا قبل الزواج، ولكن للأسف الإخوة على العكس من ذلك، يقرؤون حقوق الزوج، هو يقرأ حقوق الزوج. ما يجب يكون الأمر كذا، هو يجب عليه أن يقرأ حقوق الزوجة وهي تقرأ حقوق الزوج. أما الإخوة لا، يبادرون بحقوق إيش؟ حقوقه. هذا قبل لا يتزوج، سبحان الله. وهذا يجعله يعني فقط ينظر إلى يعني قصورها وخللها مقابل النصوص التي قد قرأها وأيقن أنها حق، وهذا قد يسبب المشكلة. فلذلك لو رأيت حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقرأت على سبيل المثال عشرة النساء للنساء، ستنظر بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكون بين وبين أزواج بعض الخلاف. ألا ترى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لعائشة أعرف عندما تكوني قضبان علي، لأنك تقولين لا ورب إبراهيم، وإذا كنت راضية عني تقولين لا ورب محمد. فقالت عائشة صدقت، أي حتى أم المؤمنين وبيت النبوة فيه يعني شيء من الغضب والنكد ولا لا؟ هذا وارد لا يتصور. فلذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان هين لين، لا ينظر إلى حقوقه، لا، بل ينظر إلى حقوق الزوجية، حقوق الزوجة، على خلاف ما عليه الناس اليوم. أنا لي حق كذا، أنا لي حق كذا، أنا لا تناسى حقك وأعطيها حقها، وبالله التوفيق إن شاء الله تتحقق السعادة بذلك. نعم.
Then after this, the Sheikh mentioned that one must know that when one enters into this new life, this not life of marriage, that life will change. Life will change, and responsibilities will increase upon you more than before. More than before, when you are single, responsibilities will increase. And this means that one must prepare and be ready for this. Have you not heard that when the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever of you is able to, whoever of you has the ability to, then he should marry? So this shows that one must prepare oneself, one must prepare one's soul, one's inside, and one must prepare oneself with respect to material things, wealth, etc. One must prepare themselves in this matter for the marriage. The Shaykh reminded that in this affair you will have joined someone to you. You will not be on your own anymore, you will have someone with you, join someone to you as you did not before. So, and the Shaykh said that related to this and part of this is that one must study. With respect to the men, one must study the rights of the wife upon him. And with respect to the women, they should study. They should study the rights of the men upon them. Not like what many brothers do now, and this is something they should do before the marriage. Not like many brothers do now, they just study the rights of the man upon his wife, and this is what they take interest in, and this is what they enter themselves into. No. The opposite is true. The woman should study the rights of the men upon her, and the man should study the rights of his wife upon him. So that the brother doesn't end up doing the opposite and then looking for her defects and shortcomings in the woman and comparing it to all the texts which he knows about the rights of the man upon the woman. This can lead to spoiling matters, and it can lead to spoiling the marriage. If you were to study, if you were to look at the way the Prophet ﷺ was, for instance, if you were to read, for example, the book Ishratun Nisa of An-Nisa'i, about living and with the women, and this is about how the Prophet ﷺ was with his wives, then you would find that even amongst his wives, there were some differences that occurred. And you would see, for instance, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said to her that I know when you are angry with me. When you are angry with me, you say, no, by the Lord of Ibrahim. And when you are happy with me, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, you spoke the truth, you have been truthful in this. So look, even in this house, with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, there were still some times when the wife would be angry with the husband, and something like this would occur. So look at the Prophet ﷺ, how he was. He did not used to just look at his rights, he would look at the rights of his wives. So the Shaykh said, don't just forget about your rights and studying your rights all the time. Learn the rights of the wife upon you, and after this, inshaAllah ta'ala, the affairs will go well and there will be barakah in the marriage.
فإذا تزوج الرجل هذه المرأة بعد أن بذل هذه الأسباب وتحقق بيت الزوجية، فلا بد أن يعلم بأن الحب المتبادل بين الاثنين هو من عند الله، أن الحب بيد الله. لذلك ودليلي في ذلك يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم لا تحاسبني فيما لا أملك، أي من حب عائشة. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: فيما لا أملك، من هو الذي يملك ذلك؟ هو الله جل وعلا. فالحب هو من الله جل وعلا، فلذلك ما يحاسب الذي يعني قد يعني يكون مقل في حبه لزوجته، لأن هذا الأمر بيده جل وعلا. أما الحقوق فهي واجبة عليه، أما ميل القلب فهذا بيده جل وعلا.
Sheikh mentioned, so that when this man marries this woman, after following this course of taking these precautions and learning these preliminary matters, After this, he marries her and the marriage is realized, then one must know that the mutual love which is between the man and the woman is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the hand of Allah. And this, and the proof of this is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, O Allah, do not take me to account for that which I have no control over, or that which I cannot control, meaning his love for Aisha. So this is something, the love in the heart is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the rights that people have over each other, then this is what is wajib upon you to take care of. As for the love in the heart and whether the heart goes towards someone, then this is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
كذلك التآلف التآلف بيده جل وعلا. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. هؤلاء الصحابة لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا كل ما تستطيع أن تنفقه لأجل أن توفق بين المسلمين وبين الصحابة, الكلام موجه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. فالتآلف لا يتحقق بالوسائل المادية, لأن الله قال لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا, أي كل الوسائل المالية المادية لو بذلت لتحقق الألفة لن تتحقق إلا بمشيئته جل وعلا. فالألفة الزوجية تتحقق بمشيئته جل وعلا.
And similarly, closeness and togetherness and bringing the heart together is something between the two, is something similarly which is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Allah's power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned saying that if you were to spend all that is in the earth, you will not be able to bring them together, but Allah would bring them together. Allah will bring them together, unite them. And this is an address to the Prophet ﷺ with respect to the companions. If you were to spend all that is on the earth, you would not be able to bring their hearts together or bring them together, but Allah brought them together. So this with respect to the companions and the Prophet ﷺ. Therefore the Shaykh said that bringing about closeness and coming together of the hearts of people is something which is not achieved by these physical means like wealth and such matters, as Allah mentioned in this ayah, that if you were to spend all that is on the earth, but it is something which is with Allah, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that the closeness between the man and the woman, this is something which is brought about by the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ولكن الحب والألفة لابد أن تتحقق, وذكرت لنا بأنها بيد الله, فكيف تتحقق إذن؟ ما هي الأسباب؟ الأسباب كما أخبر الله عز وجل لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا. من؟ أهل الإيمان والتقوى. البشارة في هذه الدنيا بالخير والسعادة, فلذلك من أعرض عن ذكر الله فإن له معيشة ضنكا. فالذي لا يبتعد ولا يعارض ولا يخالف دين الله وذكر الله لن تكون حياته ضنكا. ومن سبب السعادة المحبة والألفة, وهذه تأتي بالتقوى والإيمان لله جل وعلا. فلا بد من التقوى والإيمان إذا تريد أن تكون بخير أنت وزوجك. لابد من الدين, الدين يروض الزوجة, الدين يحبب الزوجة, الدين يبعد المشاكل. وسأتي بأثر من السلف. يقول أحد السلف, يقول إذا ارتكبت معصية عرفت ذلك مما يكون مع أهلي, فالمعصية تورث الخلاف, وهذا ما علمه السلف. فلذلك السلف يقول إذا ارتكبت المعصية رأيت ذلك في أهلي أثر هذه المعصية. فلذلك بالدين والإيمان والتقوى يتحقق التآلف بين الزوج والزوجة. حتى لو ترى الأبواب قد سكرت، لا لا، إن الله عز وجل بيده مقاليد كل شيء، من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجة ويرزقه، لاحظ، من حيث لا يحتسب، يعني عقله لا يرى الحل، أي لا يحتسب ذلك، ولكن الله جل وعلا. فإذا أنت في خلاف مع زوجك فالحل إعطائها الحقوق الشرعية والعبادة واللجوء إلى الله، فالجأ إلى الله ولتكن القدوة والمثل داخل البيت. المثل السلفي ما هو كلام مجرد كلام، لا، لابد أن يكون ذلك بالفعل، قول وعمل. فإن فعلت ذلك فإن شاء الله سترى التحول في زوجك. هذا ليس بيدك، هذا بيد الملك الجبار سبحانه. فلذلك حاول يا أخي السلفي أن تبادر بنفسك في ذلك، والذي يبادر بالحياة الزوجية الجديدة ويريد بناء هذا البيت لابد من الإيمان والتقوى في البيت. كيف ذلك؟ سنتكلم، ولكن بعد الترجمة.
Sheikh went on to say, but indeed the love and closeness between the husband and the wife, the man and the woman, it must be something which is achieved, it must be there. But the Sheikh had just said that this is from Allah. So how can this be brought about? What are the causes which bring about this love and closeness? First and foremost, the Sheikh mentioned that one must understand that there must be iman, faith, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taqwa, righteousness and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be there. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for those who have iman and taqwa that there is glad tidings and goodness in this life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also mentioned, as the Shaykh reminded us, that whoever turns away from the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will have a constricted, hard life. So, the one who does not turn away from the deen, the one who doesn't disobey Allah and in this way, then he will not have a constricted, hard life. This is someone who will not have it, if he does not turn away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, iman and taqwa must be there. When you wish good between the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, then these things must be realized. The Shaykh said that I will give you an example, a narration from the Salaf. One of the Salaf used to say that when I fall into a sin, when I commit a sin, I recognize this in what occurs between me and my wife. Meaning that when he fell into sin, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would recognize the effects of that in the differences and this that would occur between him and his wife. Therefore, with the deen, when one has deen, iman and taqwa, closeness and love is brought about by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you think that all the doors are closed, no, this is not the case. The Shaykh again mentioned the saying of Allah, whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will give him a way out, show him a way out, and he will provide for him from where he would not imagine. Meaning, your intellect, your mind would not be able to imagine where this rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come from, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides it. So if you have a difference, you have some difference with your wife, between yourself and your wife, then give her her rights and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to him and asking him, and in this way this will be brought about. So the example that should be in the house is a Salafi example, an example following the way of the Salaf. And this is not something just merely to talk about. It has to be practical, it has to be in action, that one should perform these matters, go back to the obedience of Allah to solve the problems in the house. And this is something which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh said that you Salafi brothers, you should take this into account and you should practice this in order to correct the affairs.
لا بد للسلفي أن يؤدي الحقوق أولا، حقوق المرأة، ويسعى إلى أن يجعل هذا البيت مبارك، بحيث أن يكون له ورد في كل يوم لقراءة كتاب الله في البيت، وأن يكون له ورد في كل صباح في التسبيح والتهليل والاستغفار لله، وأن يكون له وقت من الليل يقوم لله جل وعلا. ما يتصور من البيت السلفي الخواء والظلام، لا قيام ليل، لا قراءة لكتاب الله، هجر لكتاب الله، بعيد عن التسبيح. هذا ما يتصور يا إخوان لبيت يرفع راية السلفية، ما يتصور. لذلك إذا بادر هذا الإنسان بهذه العبادات ورأت الزوجة بعينها ذلك وابتعد عن المعاصي، ورأت هي بعينها أنه أبعد الناس عن المعاصي، لذلك تراه عندما يسير في الطريق عينه في الأرض، وإن وقعت على محارم الله صرفها وخضع لعبودية الله طاعة لله وللمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. فلذلك إذا رأت هذا المثل هي والأبناء كذلك، والأبناء لأن عندما يكون قول القائل أنا سلفي من غير الالتزام، هذا يجعل في نفوس الأقارب الزوجة والأبناء شيء. الأب يدعو ما لا يفعل، الأب يدعو ما لا يفعل، وهذه مشكلة. كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون، كبر مقتا، كبر مقتا، كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون.
So the one who is following the way of the Salaf, the Salafi, he must give the rights. He must give the rights of the woman to her. And similarly, he should race to make the house a blessed house, blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is by every day having some time, having a portion of recitation of the Quran and remembrance of Allah by saying tasbih, subhanallah, and tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah, and these matters, and performing istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and this being done at the time of the morning. Have these things. It has no qiyamul layl, no standing at night, and it has no recitation of the Quran. Rather, the Quran is abandoned, and there is no tasbih, no remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can imagine this from a Salafi house? So when the woman should look, and when she should see that the man, he is involved in this worship, and she can see with her very eyes that he does not fall into disobedience of Allah, but he worships Allah in this way, and that when he walks down the street, he lowers his gaze and he doesn't look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. Say to the believers that they should lower their gaze, the believing men and the believing women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about them, that they should lower their gaze. And she sees these matters occurring, her and the children see this from the man, then this is something good. As for when the man, the husband, he says, I am Salafi, and he is not involved in such matters, and he does not back this up with action, it's just a mere claim, and so that the father is claiming that which he does not do, then this is something which is problematic. This is something a problem. When the children, the woman sees this, and the family relations, they see this from a person, then this brings problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that it is a great thing, a great evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say what you do not do. It is a great evil. It is a severe thing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you claim or that you say what you do not do.
وكذلك لا بد للزوج من ممازحة المرأة وإظهار الحب لها، لا بد من الممازحة والملاعبة وإظهار الحب لها. فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشرب من المكان الذي
قد شربت منه عائشة، وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل من المكان الذي قد أكلت منه عائشة إظهارا للحب وللود، وهذا يورث يا أخوان التعايش والألفة والمحبة، فلا بد من إظهار ذلك، وهذا هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Similarly, the husband, the man, he must have some time when he is light-hearted, joking with his wife, playing with his wife, and showing love, showing aspects of love to his wife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would drink from exactly the spot where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would drink from in the vessel. And similarly, he would eat from that part of the food exactly where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had eaten. This showing love and closeness, so one must do this. One must do this, show closeness and love, and show love and this lightheartedness with the wife. And with this, this brings about this closeness and love which we seek. And so this is something which is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فقد كان النبي كذلك يسابق عائشة، فكان الصحابة معه فيطلب منهم أن يتقدموا حتى يتأخر فلا يكون هناك أحد فيسابقها، وهذا من يعني تحقق الألفة بين الزوج والزوجة. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يركض وعائشة تركض يتسابقان، هذا من يصنعه؟ محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اليوم يقول لا يا أخي، إيش هذا؟ إيش تريد مني؟ يستهزئون بنا الناس. والله صنعها محمد، والله صنعها محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلا بد من الممازحة، ولا بد من ذلك، وأن تضغط على نفسك وتروض نفسك على هذه المنهجية، لا أن تكون فضلا غليظ القلب. لا يا أخي، لا تكون فضلا غليظ القلب، حتى لو كانت هذه ما هي من خصالك، حتى لو كانت هذه ما هي من خصالك، فروض نفسك، روض نفسك يا أخي.
Similarly, the Shaykh reminded us that the Prophet ﷺ would even race with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He would race with her. So if the companions were there, he would tell her, he would tell the companions to move on so that there was no one around, and then he would run. He would be running and Aisha would be running. He would race her. All doing this to realize and bring about this love between them and closeness between them. And this is something which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. This is his practice, this is his guidance, and the Shaykh said again, the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you must do this. Not like nowadays, one we might say, you know, what are you trying to do? This is something which people will take fun of. Don't do it. But this is something, wallahi, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. So you must train yourself, your soul upon to be like this, to have this type of characteristic. The Shaykh said, even if this is not your quality, even if this is not your personality to do this, you must train yourself and must put yourself to become like this.
فالانظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سابقها في الأولى فسبقت عائشة، فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سابقها في المرة الثانية عندما سمنت عائشة، فقال يلا لنتسابق مرة ثانية، فسابقها صلى الله عليه وسلم. انظر إلى هذه، حتىها في باله الأولى، فقال في نهاية السباق هذه بتلك. هذا من الذي قال؟ محمد. هذه بتلك، انظر، يعني الأمر في باله سابقا، أي المداعبة في باله وهديه صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
See how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raced Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once, and in that race she beat him. So later on, another time later than this, when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had put on some more flesh, when she was slightly older and put on some more flesh, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her to race him again. He raced her and he beat her this time. So look how it was that in the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do this, and this was something that he had in him, and he said at the end of this race, this is for that one. So he, look how he was when remembering this, and performing in this way, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
لقد طال بنا المقام والموضوع يحتاج إلى أكثر من ذلك، ولكنني أقول لا بد من التطبيق. لا نريد أن تضرب الأذان من ذلك فقط، لا، من كانت له زوجة فليطبق ذلك، فليطبق ويعقد النية الآن أن يهتدي بهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ويسعى إلى تطبيق ذلك. هي ليست قصص، وإنما هي أحكام ودين، فلا بد من تطبيق ذلك. إن كنت تحب محمد فاتبع ما كان عليه محمد، فلا بد من أن تعقد النية الآن في قلبك وفي هذه اللحظات، تستغفر الله وتقول أريد يا ربي أن أهتدي بهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فتفعل ما هو مطلوب عليك شرعا وتعرض عن مخالفاتها كما كان يصنع محمد، وتسعى إلى إسعادها وإظهار الحب لها. وإن لم تكن تزوجت فاستعن بما ذكرناه سالفا من أن تكون هذه الخطيبة من أصحاب الدين والتقوى والإيمان، ولا بد لك من السؤال والتريث والتذلل لله عز وجل والاستخارة حتى تعقد هذا العقد الذي إن شاء الله يكون صاحبه سلفية. اللهم آمين يا رب العالمين.
The Sheikh said that the time has moved on and this topic it needs more detail and more explanation. However, the Sheikh here he is advising us that this is something we have to put into practice. We have to put it into practice, we have to apply it in our lives. So the Sheikh advised that we should make the intention now at this point to put into practice this guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sheikh said that this is not a matter of storytelling what he has been doing. It is not a matter of storytelling, it is a matter of these are the rules, regulations, and these are the texts from Al-Islam, of Al-Islam. It's not just mere storytelling. It's not enough for us just to hear these things and that's it. We must put these into practice. So the Shaykh advised that we make the niyyah now, and that if we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we should follow the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh said that you should do, and this is respect now for these brothers who are married obviously, that you should do what is sought of you by Al-Islam, by the Sharia, and you should try to make this wife happy, you should try and make it good with her. As for the brothers who are not married yet, then for them, the Shaykh said that you should use what was mentioned previously in this talk when going to find a wife, when going to find someone to be married with, that you should look into her affair, investigate and make sure about whether she is upon the deen, whether she is upon the deen and she has the good character. Then one should use the fact that they should go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should humiliate themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making istikhara so that he chooses for them the best way.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
And all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the world.
هذه رابع محاضرة. أنا نفتح.
Sheikh is quite tired because he's been lecturing all day. So perhaps we'll have a few minutes for a few questions, but the Sheikh needs the rest.
I think this situation is where a man should not get married. Like he's single, but he should still get married or not get married.
أحوال فيها أمور مطلوبة على الرجل. من لم يستطع الباء فلا يتزوج، من لم يستطع الباء فلا يتزوج، والباء القدرة، فإن لم تتحقق القدرة لا يجب عليه أن يتزوج. هذا منطوق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا مفهوم المخالفة من قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من استطاع منكم الباء أي من لم يستطع الباء فلا يتزوج. فهذا الذي أعرفه يعني متى لا يتزوج، هذا اللي فهمت من الأخ ترجمة. نعم.
Okay, the question which was asked by a brother was, is there any situation or any time when it is better for a man that he does not marry and that he remains single? In response to this, the Sheikh said that the one who does not have the ability to marry, then it is not obligatory upon him to marry. The one who has not the ability, he hasn't got the ability to marry, then it is not obligatory upon him to marry, and in this case he does not marry. This is the understanding that we gain from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, whoever of you has the ability, has the power, the strength to do so, then he should marry. Meaning that whoever does not have the ability, then don't marry. This is what the Shaykh responds to this question.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
وتم حبوس لا يتزوج من المرأة كبيرة في السن أو عندها أولاد أو مطلقة. فرض مثال نحتاج لحاجة جميلة. وهذه مشكلة كثيرة، كم من أخوات ملتزمات ولدين، ولكن إذا مطلقة أو عندها ولد أو اثنين ولد ولا يريدون أن يتزوج من هذا النساء من نوع النساء.
نعم. هو يقول أن هناك مطلقات وهناك يعني من كان يعني قد كبروا وهم ما تزوجوا، فالإخوة ما يتوجهون لهؤلاء، فلماذا يعني يصدون عن هؤلاء؟
The brother mentioning and asking that there are women who have either grown old or who have been divorced and the likes. And these women, the men, sometimes they don't look at these women, they don't turn to these women. So why do they not consider these women in the light of what the Shaykh said with respect to choosing the one of deen?
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جل نسائه يعني مطلقات وهم أيضا عندهم أبناء وهم أيضا كبار في السن أيضا، وهذا صنعه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قد تزوج ذلك وما تزوج إلا عائشة فهي البكر، أما الباقي فقد كانوا يعني إما مطلقات وإما قد توفى أو توفي الزوج، وهذا فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أجد مانع من ذلك، بل الجمال كما بينت في كلامك وما ذكره الأخ هو قاله في السؤال، الجمال مطلوب، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أنظرت إليها؟ قال لا، قال اذهب فانظر إليها، ذلك أحرى أن يؤدم بينكما. والجمال متفاوت، ما تراه أنت جميل أراه أنا قبيح، وما تراه قبيح أراه جميل، فالأمر متفاوت. فهذا يعني يأكل نوع من الطعام ولا يحب الطعم الآخر، وكذلك المرأة ترى هذا جميل وترى الآخر ليس بجميل، وقد يخالف أو تخالف الأخت الأخرى، فالجمال متفاوت. ألا ترى كيف حال أهل الصين وكيف حال أهل المشرق وكيف حال الإخوة في أفريقيا وكيف حال أهل أمريكا؟ فالوجوه متغيرة ومختلفة، وكل من يرى ما يرقب فيه، فالجمال لا يحد بحد واحد، فلفظ الجمال غير متقوقع على طائفة معينة، فهذا أمر مفتوح. أما عن الزواج فالأصل أن مفتوح الأمر للجميع، ونحث على الزواج من المؤمنة المسلمة سواء كانت ثيب أم كانت غير ذلك. نعم.
And just to add that the brother in his question had mentioned the aspect of looking for the beautiful one, looking for the one who has beauty. In response to this, what the brother had mentioned, the Shaykh mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, he had married women who had been previously divorced, who were of older age and who had children. In fact, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was the only wife he married, and she was virgin at the time. The rest of them, they had either they were older or they had been divorced and they had children. So the Shaykh said he does not, and this is the guidance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Shaykh said he doesn't see anyone to prevent, anything to prevent one from doing this. With respect to beauty, then this definitely is something which is sought. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, when he asked one of his companions, have you seen her? Have you looked at her? He said no. He said, go and look at her, for it is more conducive to keep you together, remaining together. And this beauty is something which differs between people. People have their own choice and their own likings of beauty. So what one person sees as ugly, someone might see as beautiful. In the same way as one who eats one type of food and he may not like another type of food, in such likes, another person may like that food which he does not like. So the beauty is something which differs amongst the people. And the Shaykh said, look at how people are from different parts of the world, like China and the brothers in Africa, etc., etc. Everyone has that which they like and which they consider beautiful, and this is varying of different types. The Shaykh said that the word beautiful or the word beauty does not apply to one certain type of people. It does not apply to one certain type of people from some certain place. And this is what the Shaykh had to say in response to this question.
You mentioned about consulting parents with marriage. What if circumstances arise where your parents want you to marry someone who may not be pious, may not be in the deen? What do you do then?
لا بد من مصاحبتهما بالمعروف، عدم الطاعة في ذلك. إذا أرادوا يعني زواجك من امرأة عاصية أو ما شابه ذلك، هذا لا يجب. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا يقبل الله دعاء من كانت تحته امرأة ذات خلق سيء، لا يقبل الله عز وجل له دعاء. والصلاة دعاء، كما يقول شيخي رحمه الله شيخ عبد الرحمن عبد الصمد، فقد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الأمر. فلا بد من الناس من الأخ أن يراعي جانب بر الوالدين ولا يصادمهما. ألا ترى أن الله عز وجل قد قال، وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا. في المقابل، مع أن هم أعداء لله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومع هذا فأعقب القول ذلك جل وعلا بالمصاحبة الحسنة. فلا يجب عليك، نعم هم مخطئون فيما يأمرونك به، ولكن لا بد من المصاحبة الطيبة والابتسامة وتقبيل الرأس في كل يوم وقضاء حاجات الوالدين، هذا واجب. لا بد أن يتمثل السلفي ببر الوالدين، لا بد أن يتمثل السلفي ببر الوالدين. فهذا ما نص عليه الله عز وجل وأخبر به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا طاعة لهما، ولكن لا بد من المصاحبة وإرضاءهما في ذلك، وتحاول، لأن الله عز وجل بيده قلوب الناس، يا مقلب القلوب، هو مقلب القلوب جل وعلا. فاسعى إلى الذل لله جل وعلا ودعائه جل وعلا في الليل والنهار إلى هدايتهما إلى الخير لك ولأنفسهم كذلك. فهذا الطريق الذي أعتقد لأنك في موقع خارج، وقد يكون ذلك من الابتلاء، والابتلاء لا يكون إلا للمؤمن، وقد يكون ذلك للعقاب، وهذا يكون لخلاف المؤمن. فكل هم ما يخرج من دائرته، إما بلاء وإما عقاب. كيف نعرف؟ إن كنت على المعاصي فهو عقاب، فما أصابتكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم، كل مصيبة تصيبك نسأل الله السلامة هي مصيبة، فإن كنت صاحب معاصي فهذا من كسب يدك. وأما إن كنت تقيا سلفيا فوالله هذا بلاء، وأشد الناس بلاء هم الأنبياء ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم.
in response to this question, the Shaykh said that you must accompany your parents in a goodly manner. But in this matter, if the girl, the woman they want you to marry, she is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you do not obey them in this. And it's not obligatory upon you to obey them in this. The Prophet has informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not accept the dua, the supplication of a man who has under him a woman of evil character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the dua of a man who has under him a woman of evil character. And the Shaykh said that salah, prayer, is a dua. As his Shaykh, Abdul Rahman Abdul Samad, mentioned that dua, salah is a dua. So in this case, you do not obey your parents in this. Then the Shaykh quoted to us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned regarding the parents, that if they try to make you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which He has sent no proof for, no authority for, then do not obey them. And at the end of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still told us to live with them and be with them in a goodly manner. So look, even if you consider, even though in this case of trying to make you commit shirk, they are doing something which is enmity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still told you to be with them in a good way in the end of it, after not obeying them in this matter. So one must practice this, being living in a good manner with the parents and kissing them on the head every morning and so on and so forth. The one who is a Salafi, following the way of the Salaf, the pious predecessors, he must practice this goodness to the parents. Then he tries to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the turner of the heart. He is the one who changes the heart. So one must go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him night and day, make dua to Him to guide the parents to the good, and guide all and guide others to the good. And in this way, the Shaykh sees that this is the way which is correct to do this. Now, if a brother is in this situation, then this is a type of hardship. And there are two situations, and there is no third situation which we could be in. Either this is a punishment, or it is something which is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either it is a punishment or a test. How do you know this? If you are someone who is sinning, who is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that this situation, which is a type of musibah, calamity, is a punishment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that no calamity befalls you except it is due to what your hands have earned. Or if one is someone who is upon taqwa, righteousness and piety to Allah, and he is salafi, following the way of the salaf, then this is something which is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are tested most are the prophets, and then those who are most like them, and then those who are most like them.
تعذرونا يا جماعة والله إني أنا من الفجر والله ما وقفنا تعذرونا بس البطارية خلصت يا شيخ يا ستير أي نعم تفضل هذا دعاء خاص ليس مطلق اي نعم على زوجته اها من اين هذا التقييد بارك ان الاصل الاطلاق من اين قيد هذا الحديث لان قيد
الشروط يعني ثلاثه الذي داخل
نعم
الرجل الذي نقل
نعم
كان له ان يكتب
نعم
ما يجوز
نعم
لا زوجة كان له أن يطلقها فليس له أن يدعو عليها إذا كانت سيئة الله أعطاه رخصة
أن يطلقها نعم
يعني ليس كل الدعاء لأن لعل إنسان تقي يقبل الله دعاءه وعنده ما
يحتاج إلى تقييد يا أخي ما رأيت التقييد لحد الآن أنا يعني الثلاثة أعرفهم ولكن لا بد من التقييد التقييد بنص بارك الله فيك جزاك الله هذا كلام العلماء من قال ما جزاك الله خير تفيدنا أنا ما قرأت حقيقة يعني أحد من العلماء خصص فتفيدنا من قرأت له من العلماء قال ذلك جزاك الله خير لو ترجم الله يفيد يعني لأن هذه الفائدة أنا ما أعرف أجهلها
The brother was mentioning جزاك الله خير that this, with respect to the hadith which the Shaykh quoted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the dua of the one who underneath him is a woman of evil character. This hadith and the brother mentioned that this is part of a longer hadith which three types of people we mentioned whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the dua from. The brother said that the dua mentioned in this hadith is not dua totally, it is only dua with respect to his wife. And this is a specification which the brother made. The Shaykh asked him that from where did he get this specification to specify the dua, because the fundamental principle is that the dua means the dua in general and it needs something to specify it. So the brother was saying that there are some conditions and was explaining, and the brother mentioned that this is something which he knew from the words of the scholars. The Shaykh asked him that would he benefit him with this explanation of the scholars, since the Shaykh had not heard this so far. And the brother said that this is something which is with the brother, this is something which is present, the words of the scholars explaining this hadith.
And maybe I am wrong in it. Let's need to see what he is saying, because I didn't see it. So maybe I am wrong. Zafar. انتظر الحين هذا اترك انا قلت لك نرجع 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 بذلك نعم
نحن نعيش في بلد مسيحي هل يستطيع المسلم ان يتزوج بغير مسلمة ان لم يجد امرأة مسلمة وما هو رأي ما يقول الاسلام في هذا
والله اتفاق العلماء بجواز الجواز من الكتابيين ولكن حقيقة اتفاق العلماء في ذلك وأجاز الله عز وجل ذلك وأباحه الله جل وعلا في كتابه واتفاق العلماء في ذلك ولكن تمهل إن كان هذا أمرك فتمهل لأنه يعني مآله نسأل الله السلامة يعني أن هذه امرأة نصرانية أو امرأة يهودية فتفكر بالأبناء وتفكر بخوالي الأبناء وتفكر بجد وجدة الأبناء ليكون يعني النظر أبعد من ذلك وإلا من حيث الجواز فهذا جائز الزواج من الكتابية نعم
that was the last question, there will be no more questions. The brother was asking
خلي يخلص الأخ خلي يكمل وإن شاء الله على الخشب.
The brother was asking that we live in a Christian country, is it allowed, or what is the viewpoint of Al-Islam with when one cannot find a Muslim woman to marry someone who is not Muslim? The Shaykh responded saying that Islam and it is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed, and by agreement of the scholars has allowed for one to marry a woman from the Ahlul Kitab, from the people of the book, Jews or Christians. This is something which is allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the Shaykh advise that one should look into the situation, should look and think about what will be the outcome of this with respect to the children and the family and these kind of things. But with respect to it being allowed, then it's something which is allowed by Al-Islam. The brother was asking, is there some qualities and some particularities which define who is this woman, a Kitabiyya woman, who we have been allowed to marry? Is there, for instance, is the one who says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son, is she counted as from the women of the people of the book? Or, you know, so in these things the brother is asking, what is the definition and the characteristics of this Kitabiyya?
الله عز وجل أخبر في محكم كتابه العزيز عن اليهود أنهم يقولون وقالوا عزير ابن الله وسماهم يهود, وقال عن النصارى لقد جئتم شيئا إدا, إلى آخر الآية أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا. فلذلك الله أثبت أنهم ادعوا ذلك, ومع هذا فهم, وهذا ما عليه الصحابة رضي الله عنهم, ما خلى عبد الله بن عمر الذي قال بما تقول أنت عبد الله بن عمر. بعد ذلك أجمع العلماء على أن اليهود والنصارى وهم على هذا الحال الذي تعنيه هم من قال الله عز وجل في بحقهم بإباحة الزواج, وهذا القول الذي ذكرته قاله عبد الله بن عمر, ولكن هذا من الخلاف الغير جائز أن يكون الآن، لأن تحقق فيه الاتفاق والإجماع بعد ذلك، فهذا من الخلاف الغير جائز. كمن يقول بأن عمر قال بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يمت، أو كمن قال أن عمر رضي الله عنه يقول بأن الذي يكون فيه الحدث الأكبر ولم يجد ماء لا يجوز له الصلاة حتى يجد الماء، والتيمم لا يجوز، هذا قول عمر. من يقول به الآن لا، من يقول به الآن لا يقبل منه ذلك، فهذا خلاف غير معتبر وغير جائز، وإن قاله عمر في ذاك اليوم، وإن قال عبد الله بن عمر فيما قاله في اليهود والنصارى. فلذلك ينقل العلماء الإجماع، ولكنني أحببت أن أقول الاتفاق، وإلا فينقل العلماء الإجماع في ذلك. هذا اللي أعلم والله أعلم. يترجم يا أخي.
In response to this question, the Sheikh mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Quran, calling them al-Yahud, the Jews, that they say Uzayr is the son of Allah, and he called them Yahud in this. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Nasara, the Christians, and he mentioned in that verse calling them Christians that they ascribe a son to Ar-Rahman, to the Most Merciful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described these people with these attributes, and he has called them Jews and Christians. So all of the companions, they were upon this, that those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the book in that manner, they apply to as being those of the people of the book. Apart from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said what similar to what the brother has said with regards to making a distinction between this. It is only Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma who mentioned this. But all of the scholars after that, they are agreed upon these people who have been described in the Quran as saying these things as being the people of the book. Those same people are men. So the Sheikh mentioned that this is a type of difference that is not allowed to occur now. It is a type of ikhtilaf which shouldn't occur now, even though it was said by Abdullah ibn Umar at that time. Since after this, we have obtained agreement of the scholars upon this issue. We have obtained agreement of the scholars upon this issue. So this is the same. This is the same situation as the situation when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said at that time, at one time, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadn't died. Or as been mentioned from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he has mentioned that the one who becomes, who gets major impurity, and he finds no water to make wudu, that the salah is not obligatory upon him until he finds the water. These kind of things, They are things which are ikhtilaf, difference of opinion, which are not to be considered now. They are not to be taken into consideration since the scholars are agreed upon these matters. So the Sheikh mentioned that the scholars they quote ijma' consensus on this with respect to the people of the book amongst the scholars. They quote ijma' and due to what has been said by Ibn Umar, the Sheikh, he prefers to say ittifaq, which means agreement. And there's a slight difference between the two.
والله تحمني شوي اي والله اني تعب يعلم الله بذلك وراي السفر غدا الى الكويت والله ولازم استيقظ الفجر وايضا عن فترحمنا يا اخي اي والله ارحمنا في الارض يرحمكم في السماء يا اخي